Are you ready to try your hand at placing your very first stock trade? Then check out our free guide, 10 Steps to Choosing Your First Stock to Trade, the Ultimate Beginner's Guide. In this free download, you'll learn how to choose the right kinds of stocks and how to find them, know when to buy your stocks and when to sell them, and you'll learn how to take your very first steps to becoming a stock trader and much more. Grab your free guide now by going to tradeway.com/guide. That's tradeway.com/guide. Hey guys, I'm David Mitchell, founder and CEO of Tradeway. What if God himself gave you a blueprint for how to handle your money? Well, the Bible is a practical book. Let's dive in and see what it has to say about wealth, about risk, about leverage, and about investing, and uncover how trading in the stock market can be a powerful tool for moving towards your biggest goals. We're so happy you're here. This is The Word on Investing. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I've been asked this question before. I want to see if we can answer it today. What is the number one thing that makes the mindset of a seasoned trader different? So why don't we talk about that a little bit? Well, first of all, they play the math. They kind of think differently because they think of stock trading as a business, not like a hobby. They manage risk all the time. They focus on managing the risk more than they focus on the profits they're going to make. And they make a plan for each trade and then they trade their plan. Well, you've heard that a million times. So let's get a little bit more into detail that might be helpful for us today. First of all, they manage their emotions and they avoid or neutralize them. Now, think about it. Emotions are part of our being, right? You can't get rid of them. So what do? You can neutralize them. Well, how do you do that? Well, basically, the bottom line is you do it with rules. Rules that you set for each play before you get into the play, and then you just make the play as automatic as you can so you don't have to make emotional decisions during the play. So talking about neutralizing them, though, let's talk about fear, first of all, this emotion we call fear. Well, what does it cause you to do most often? If I look at our 50,000-some-odd students, I would say the biggest mistake they make has to do with fear, because what they will do, I'm going to give an example here. Let's say that they got a $40 stock and they jump in this play. It bounces up off support, perfect buy point. They get it at maybe $40.50 a share as it's moving up. And then they expect it to go to 50. So their sell point is like $49.50. They got their lines drawn. Everything's perfect. And so they expect it roughly to go up $10, right? So the thing goes up $3 and they look at that and they go, wow, you know, what if something happened and it tanks? And then I have to tell my wife or my spouse, I lost money, or my friends, you know, I lost money. Now there's pride thinking a little bit. Or they may just say, I don't want to lose what I've got so far. I've made $3 a share. I'm just going to sell it right now and put that money in the bank. So they sell it and make $3 per share when they were expecting to make $10. Now, why is this a problem? Well, think about it. If one of the great keys is playing the math, which means we want to have a small expense if it goes the wrong way and we stop it out, maybe 8%. And we want to have a large win if it works right. So maybe 30%, okay, on the return side. Well, if you only let it go a third of the way up your expected return, then you're winning small. And I'll promise you, if your formula is to lose small when it goes the wrong way and win small when it goes the right way, then at best over a three-year period, you're going to break even. And more likely, you're going to lose money because of your commission costs and things like that. So you cannot make money losing small, but also winning small. You got to win big. And by that, I mean you need to let it go all the way up the full $10 that you expected it to do before you jump out of it. And what emotion is it that makes you jump out early? Fear. You're afraid of loss. And that is something that will destroy your trading. I mean, you'll think you're a terrible trader when really all you're doing is you're just letting fear cause you to win small instead of doing the plan that you had for your trade. So pride gets into that just a little bit, but we'll talk about that one in a minute. Now, what do you think the solution to that would be? How do we manage that emotion called fear? Well, here's how I do it. I'll put in my stop loss at 8%. And I will go up and have my little dotted line. You can't really make a dotted line, but it's kind of what we call a trading line by ooching it down just a little bit from the resistance line of where I expect that stock to stop and bounce down. A little bit before I get to that is my sell point. And in this example, it's like $10 profit, basically. And so I will tell myself, okay, now that I've put this play on, I'm just going to let the play work, and I'm not going to do anything. So that gets me out of the equation. It gets all of my emotions out of the equation. And I'm going to stay in the play unless it does one of two things. It either stops out because it didn't work, and I have my acceptable small expense of 8%, or it goes up and it hits my sell point, and I make my $10 per share, and I have my large win of 30% or more. So I don't do anything until one of those two things happens, because if I get involved, fear or pride or greed or something's going to cause me to do something other than my plan. So I just, it either stops out or it hits the sell point and it sells for a profit and I'm out of the play. That's the best way to manage fear. Now, there is one exception to the rule on that, and that is if some kind of news item happens out there in the world that, let's say you're in an up play and the news is so negative that it makes it impossible for your play to work right, then you'd be allowed to go ahead and sell it after it moved up $3 and get out of it and take a little bit of profit. But you have to be careful with that exception to the rule when you're new, because you don't really know what news is real. You don't know what news actually will make it stop and go the other way very well. So you have to take advantage of our market alerts and let us help you with that. And that's included in most programs out there. If you go out there to tradeway.com and you look at our programs, most of them are going to include the market alerts, where we can help you with the world news and knowing what really is real enough to cause your stock to change directions and go the wrong way. And only then would you make that exception to the rule. Well, that's how you handle fear. And that's what the big boys do, and that's what makes them different than the average trader. Now, here's the second one, greed. Let's think about that for a minute. Okay, so let's say we have the same trading plan. It's a $40 stock. We expect it to go up to 50. We've got an 8% stop out put in there, and it moves up to our little sell line, which is just short of a $10 profit, and it's time to sell it. And we look at the world news, and it's just awesome. Everything is so great out there in the world. And we go out and we check out our company that we bought the stock in, and everybody's saying, you know, this thing's going to go to $200 a share. It's just sitting here at 50. It's going to go to 200. So I just say, well, you know what? Why would I want to sell it for just a $10 profit when I could make a $200 profit? So I'm going to stay in it. And then the next day an earnings report or something comes out and it tanks and it goes below your buy point and you take a whopping loss on the play. Well, you know what? What caused it? Greed. Okay. Like, you got greedy. A $10 profit. And then think about it. If you had 1,000 shares, that's a $10,000 profit in just less than 2 weeks. And that wasn't good enough. You wanted more. So you didn't get out according to your plan, and then it tanked the next day and you lost your profit and you even lost money because you took a stop out. So that's how greed can affect your plan. So what's the solution? The same thing. When it hits your sell point, sell it. Now, there is one other thing you could do if your software at your trading company, at your brokerage company allows it, is when it gets to your sell point, all the way at the top where your sell point was, very near the resistance line, at that point, you could put in what we call a trailing stop loss. And that way, if it went up another $20, you can make that extra profit potentially. So you can think about that. But 9 times out of 10, I just sell it when it hits my sell point. Okay. So now let's talk about another one. What about pride? Well, here are some symptoms that you might have if you're dealing with that particular emotion that's bothering you. One is you're so afraid to tell anyone in your circle of life that you lost money that you're going to jump out and sell this particular example when it goes up $3. And you can say, hey, I made $3,000 today, I made a profit, when you should have made $10,000. You didn't tell them that. And pride caused you to sell it early. So maybe it wasn't fear in your case. It was pride that caused you to sell it early because you want to always make a profit. So because of that, you're not willing to take the risk for it to go all the way up to that $10 profit mark that you had planned. So that's one example of how pride can hurt your trading. Another one is not stopping out. Now, why would pride have to do with that? Well, think about it. The play goes the wrong way. You thought it would go up. Now it's moving down. And you're just so sure that you've got it right that it can't keep going down because you got it right. You analyzed it properly. It's going to actually go up $10. So you don't stop it out. You say, it's got to turn around and go back up. Surely it will. So now you're trading with Shirley. That's the worst trading partner in the world. You've heard that, right? So surely it will go back up. So I'm going to stay in it rather than stopping it out. And then the next day you wake up and it's gapped down $5 below where you bought it. And you say, well, now I'm hoping it will go up. There's another bad trading partner. And I'm so smart. I analyzed it right. It's got to go up. So I'm just going to stay in it. And the next morning you wake up, it goes down another $2. So now you've lost $7,000 on a play that should have made you 10 and your stop out should have been $800 and you're losing $7,000. So now pride comes in and you say, well, I'm not willing to lose $7,000. I'm too smart for that. I'm just going to keep the thing. And what if it was an option trade rather than a stock trade and you bought the call options and you just wait and you wait and wait. All of a sudden they expire worthless and you lost all the money you put in the trade because you were too prideful to keep your own rules. Well, that's kind of how that can work out. And you got to really think that through before you start trading and you got to make yourself some rules not to let pride get in the way. Another way pride can hurt you is that if we announce in our market alerts that we're in a squirrel market, which means you're better off just to stay in cash and you're a new trader and you think to yourself, well, I've got this thing. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to be a genius at this. I can still trade. So I'm going to keep trading anyway. Well, that's pride because we who've done it, some of us 40 years are saying we're not in the market, but you're new and you're brilliant and you're going to go ahead and trade during the squirrel market and you lose money on most of those trades. So that's another way pride can cause you to do the wrong thing. Another way is like, you get smarter than the system. You're smarter than David Mitchell, who's done it 40 years and whose grandfather and dad did it before him. They've learned all these things that can cause you to lose money. They put it in the rules so that you don't have to lose money, but you're smarter than that system. And then you've got all the coaches that together have who knows how many, but probably more than 40 years experience on my coaches too. And they're saying it's a squirrel market, but you're smarter than all of these. You're just smarter than the system. And so you're going to do it your own way. And man, that can manifest itself in a lot of things is you come up and pick your own stocks rather than picking out of the stock list that we give to you. You know, if you go out there to tradeway.com, almost all of our programs that you would acquire, they will include the founders list. There's two of them that have, one of them has close to 100 stocks, the best growth stocks in the country. And so instead of using one of those, you just go find your own stock and it may not even be the right kind. That's pride, right? Reading tons of books and internet articles about trading and thinking that just, you know, anything out there on the internet is going to be better than the Tradeway system. I'm going to try that. Well, that could be pride. You know, you think, well, I can read as much as they can read. I can figure it out. But you know what I've discovered, guys? I've been doing this so long, like I'm 67 years old when you hear this episode. Well, who knows when you're going to hear the episode. When I recorded it, I'm 67. I'm one of the oldest guys out there that writes information on how to draw support lines, resistance lines, you know, how this actually works. And I find a lot of young guys out there that have educational systems where it looks to me like they read a couple of books on the topic and now they're the expert because they're not even drawing the lines right. So you got to be really careful thinking that you're smarter than the Tradeway system. I mean, how about this? Work our system for 3 years, do a lot of successful trades, and then if you want to go out and read additional books, by then you know enough to know the junk from the real thing probably. So don't let pride cause you to do that when you're brand new. And then another thing, you skip the paper trading because you're so smart. Well, there's an indication of pride. I mean, our system says you should paper trade a lot before you even do the small money trading. And then you get to the small money trading and you're so smart and so wealthy that you're just going to go ahead and start out with $50,000 because you got the money, you don't mind losing it, and you're smart anyway, you've already got this. And guess what? You do lose it. And then you get mad at us, but we told you don't trade with $50,000. Trade with $1,500 to start with, you know. So pride causes you to skip the paper trading. It causes you to skip the small money trading and you get in trouble and then you think you're a bad trader because you just didn't do what we asked you to do. So there's a lot of ways to manifest pride, but none of it will help your trading. So think those things through a little bit. Now, here's another one, addiction. You probably didn't expect me to say that, did you? And I would just call that trading too much or having lack of patience. Now, this is fun. So a lot of our new students get so enamored with trading that they just want to be trading every day all the time. And now, you know, we didn't create this to cause you to sit in front of a screen all day. We created it so you'd have time freedom with your family and with the Lord and all these things that are more important. And if you do the trades the way we teach them, you will have that. But if you get addicted to trading where you just want to sit and watch a screen all day and be in the market all the time, that can create a problem because you're trading too much, which means you're going to be trading at times when the market doesn't say you have a good trade. And I call that reaching for a trade. Like you go out there and you look at maybe 100 stocks in the founder's list. None of them are at very good buy points, and you don't even find any particularly good patterns that are ready to do a trade. And you say, but I got a trade, so I'm going to do this one. I'll just do this one because it looks pretty good. See, that's reaching for a trade. And so addiction can cause you to be in the market too much. And the way that a seasoned trader does it is you just trade when the market makes a trade available, an excellent trade, and you only trade excellent trade setups. That's the difference. So another trap you can get into with this addiction is kind of related to it, I guess, is maybe you fire the boss too soon and you're going to trade for a living, but you're not ready yet. And so now you say, well, I got to make money every week to live on. Well, the market may not give you a great setup every week. So you don't trade every week. What you do is you trade a lot on the weeks that give you great setups. There's a big difference. And so you got to be careful thinking you need to be in the market all the time. Another trap I fell into as a young trader was I thought, well, I need my money working all the time because I want my money to make money instead of me having to make money. So I need to be in the market every day. Well, that's not the same thing. I mean, it is true we want the money to make the money, but you don't accomplish that by having it in the market every day. You accomplish it by trading when the market presents a near-perfect setup. So trading too much is a problem. Now, let me just tell you this. At Tradeway, if you go out to Tradeway.com and you get involved with our programs, they're going to teach you we have a three-legged table for trading. Fundamental analysis, technical analysis, and market tone. And all three of those need to line up and say go before you push the trade button. You see my point? And if they don't, then just wait till tomorrow and look again or the next day because there really are opportunities a lot out there. You don't need to trade today if you're reaching for a trade. Just wait till tomorrow and look again. You might see a perfect one. So you have to kind of learn to think that way. Now, there was a man named Jesse Livermore, who is one of my favorite traders in the world, in history of everything I've read about great traders. I from the point of view of his life, I don't believe he was a born-again gentleman, and I don't love that part of his experience. He, you know, basically ruined his family life and all these things you discover if you read about him. It was a tragic life and a tragic story, but he was an amazing stock trader. For example, in 1907, which was before the Great Depression, of course, he predicted that particular crash that happened in 1907. It was kind of a small crash compared to the Great Depression, but it was a market crash. And he made $3 million in one day shorting stocks. Now, you short a stock when you think it's going to go down. It makes money when you go down. Kind of like we teach our students to trade puts. If you buy a put, it has the potential to make money when the market goes down. Well, shorting does that. And wealthy individuals with years of experience can short stocks. Newer students, like our Tradeway students, are better off to do puts to accomplish that. But we've talked about that in other episodes. But the thing is, he shorted the stocks, which means he planned to make money if the market crashed. And guess what? It crashed, and he made $3 million in one day. Now think about that. Roughly 1907 money. If he made $3 million, that would be worth about $93 million today. But he did that in one day. Now, he got experience through that, and then when 1929 came, the Great Depression, he predicted that crash was coming, and he made $100 million, and $100 million that he made in one day in 1929 would be worth $1.7 billion in today's money. And on that day, J.P. Morgan, who was perhaps the greatest businessman of that day, he sent an envoy to Jesse Livermore's house and ask him to close his short positions because he was about to put all the brokerage houses and all the wealthy individuals totally out of business and bankrupt a lot of millionaires. And out of respect for J.P. Morgan, Jesse Livermore closed his positions and made $100 million, but he didn't have to close them. He might have made $500 million if he had just stayed in all the way to the bottom of that crash. So he was just a fantastic trader. And here's what he said to close this program today. He said, remember, you do not have to be in the market all the time. And that is just such a great thing that I learned from this man in reading about his life, because I used to want to be in the market every day. And it wasn't helping my trading years ago when I was in my 20s and 30s. So I learned that from this gentleman. You can learn it too, is you only want to be in the market when you have an excellent setup. And we're going to talk about that more in our next episode. So we're out of time for today. I hope you enjoyed this. And, you know, if you did, please rate and review it so people that think the way we do can find it and be a help to them. And I hope you'll have a fantastic week, and we will see you next time.